Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a restful weekend and an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day together and Mass on Sunday, get some rest and be restored by the presence and power of God in our lives. Friends, one of the most prophetic things we can do in the culture, I mean, I think Catholics are very aware, Christians are very aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us and how much our culture needs to return to the Lord, really, to return to deep respect for God and the things of God, bring us into a place of greater sanity, a healthy fear of God, knowledge of God, and that can help strengthen our culture as a society. One of the most radical things we can do, and I mean that in the best sense, is really take serious the Lord's Day, keeping holy the Lord's Day. And in some, not only making sure we get to Mass every Sunday, but also being intentional in making it a day of rest. What makes Sunday different for us other than going to Mass? What does that day look like? And how do we as Christians live it out? And it's a witness to others in it, because what we see and what we understand in living out the Lord's Day fully in this day of rest, one, we're obeying the command, which is really, really important, but also that we're getting restored. We're not only resting from work, we're also resting in order to enter work with the right kind of mindset, right kind of health, because we're being restored by the Lord. And we're celebrating on the Lord's Day and reminding ourselves and others that our relationship with God, our relationship in the church, the way of life of a people, our Christian culture is centered in this day, in this beautiful day. The center of our life is the Eucharist, is the worship of the people of God, gathered around the person of Jesus Christ, his passion and death represented to us, and we receive it. The heavens are open. The grace of God pours into us. We express our belief, our joy, and we remind ourselves the Lord is our portion and our cup. He holds our lot. He is our life. He's our joy. He's the reason we're alive. He's the reason we can walk with joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. And living for him is the most important thing that we can do. You know, like Paul says in Ephesians, St. Paul, you know, we're destined and appointed to live for the praise of the Lord. We're destined and appointed. We're a people that have a destiny. We're a people of destiny. We know who we are. We know why we're here, and we know where we're going. And we're living with the King, with Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father, and we're living the way of life of the kingdom. Well, one of the things that this week can help us get a perspective on the meaning of the Lord's Day, but also just living in the kingdom life here and now, are the parables. So we get this week a number of days where the church is presenting to us in the Gospels, Matthew 13. There's, I think, seven parables there in that chapter. They're also repeated in Mark 4 and Luke 8. But in particular, I just want to look at Matthew's account of the parables. And remember, just kind of setting the situation, Jesus came forward and the first thing he preached was what? Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. What's repent? He said, change the direction you're moving in, what you're looking for, what your priorities are, how you're living your way of life. Pay attention, because the reign of God, the authority of God, the revelation of God has come to the earth in the person of Jesus. And he's calling everyone everywhere to hear the kingdom message, the gospel, the call to give people an opportunity to come out of the kingdom of this world and enter into the kingdom of God, to come out of the fallen world that resists the Lord, that lives without focus on the Lord, doesn't put priority on the Lord in so many ways, and we're a race of people who've lost our way. We might think we're finding our way, or we might think we somehow hit the lotto here in the United States and the way of life and all the freedom and resources and things we have, and we're distracted and excited and we're doing all kinds of things. What Jesus reminded us, what Jesus came to tell us, is that this world is passing away. This world is under judgment. The resistance to God, the unwillingness to put God first and love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in the culture, recognizing God and the things of God in the way we shape our way of life and our culture and our laws and the rest of it, you can see the battle that goes on, the fallen human heart, the working of the flesh, the resistance of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, demonic power at work in the culture, deceiving. So this battle is going on, and Jesus is saying he's throwing us a life jacket or whatever, or he's throwing us a line. We're in a sinking boat, and he's throwing us a lifeline. And that lifeline is his presence, the king of the kingdom, to bring us into the way of life of the kingdom, which is another way of expressing God's work of salvation. And so the parables tell us something of the mystery of the kingdom. Jesus is famous for his parables, and we'll talk a little bit about the background of it. We'll just start there. Why does Jesus use parables? Here's one explanation that Jesus himself gives. He said, the apostles asked him, and the disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. I mean, one of the characteristics of the parables, first of all, Jesus has said, he describes the mysteries of the kingdom. Well, what's a mystery? A mystery is something we can't access without revelation, without God revealing to us the reality that's being communicated. We can't access it on our own. We can't see it. And the parables both reveal and conceal at the same time. In the wisdom of the Lord, the use of parables, somehow the simple, those whose hearts are open, those who've been designated by the Father, in particular the apostles, to be able to understand the reality of the kingdom, the parables, because their hearts are open, the simplicity of their lives and their trust and their desire and their hunger, they're able to see and to hear. But the religious authorities that oppose Jesus, the mysteries of the kingdom were concealed because of their pride. And the Lord used it often as a kind of judgment as well against them. So seeing you do not see, many who saw and heard physically did not see and hear spiritually. Jesus said, those who have will be given more. Those who don't have will be taken away. Those who are not seeing and hearing spiritually because of the hardness of their heart, more is going to be taken away. But to the hungry, to those with open hearts, those whose ear is toward the Lord, walking in humility, they are able to see and to understand. Jesus conveyed four aspects of the mystery, kind of four new truths in seven parables, really, in Matthew 13. He taught that in this age, obedience to the kingdom will be voluntary and not enforced, number one. Number two, that the kingdom will start very small, yet it will eventually fill the whole earth. Three, its great value will be hidden to many. And finally, four, that God will separate the wicked from the righteous by his judgments at the end of the age. The mystery is that the kingdom would be revealed in stages. So we'll see that in these parables. It's really fascinating. The earthly reign of the Messiah on the throne of David was clearly revealed by the Old Testament prophets, so it was not a mystery. But here in Matthew 13, what we see, Jesus introduced the spiritual reign of the kingdom, which would increase progressively in the period between his first and his second coming. It gives us insight into dimensions of the kingdom, and then how the kingdom is going to unfold over time, giving us some sense and insight into how really God's plan is unfolding. His judgments would be manifested first against Satan's kingdom, but not against Rome and human institutions, which is what King David and what was happening in the Old Testament was about. What's happening now is the battle between the two kingdoms is fully revealed, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God, kingdom of the devil. Jesus emphasized first the spiritual victory empowering his people to enjoy a relationship with him and to walk in love and humility and purity. We take a look at beginning in, let's say, Matthew 13 here. I just want to break down even further what he's saying. The setting in which Jesus taught the parables of the kingdom is he's at the Sea of Galilee. Here's how the chapter begins. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat at the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. That Jesus sat, that was the position of the seat of Moses, the chair of Moses, the chair of wisdom, and so he's the ultimate fulfillment of all that, and he's now teaching, and he's teaching through these parables. One of the parables talks about four different kinds of soil. Another parable will talk about wheat and tares. They teach that the kingdom obedience is not forced. Both of these two parables. The parable of the sower speaks of very different responses to the message of the kingdom. Parables 3 and 4. Parable number 3 is the mustard seed. Parable number 4 is the leaven. They teach that the kingdom starts small and will grow large. Leavening process highlights the internal and invisible dynamic of its global growth. Parables 5 and 6. The fifth parable is the treasure that's hidden in the field. The sixth is the pearl of great price. They teach God's kingdom value, the inestimable value of the kingdom that's not seen by most people. But when people see it, it changes everything. Parable number 7, the dragnet teaches that the removal of the wicked will occur at the end of the age. And the parable of the tares, again, also teaches the same thing, the second parable that we had described. So I'll begin here today, just reading the parable of the sower. We'll just touch on it, and then we'll continue it tomorrow. The parable of the sower and the seed, it was spoken to the crowd. It described how the crowds responded to his teaching by illustrating the four types of responses people make to the preaching of God's reign. These four types of soil are familiar to farmers who scattered seeds as they walked through their fields. And Jesus interpreted this parable this way. Matthew 18, behold, a sower went out to sow. Some seed fell on by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on among thorns, and the thorns choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and others 30-fold. There were seed fell out the wayside, the stony places, among the thorns, and on good ground. That's what we're going to take up tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join me. Invite your friends to join us, because this is how the kingdom goes forward in our time, as it's being preached, as it's being lived. What kind of soil is in your heart and mine? And at times, maybe your heart is stony. Other times, maybe thorny. I've known that in my own life, ways we resist God. And so we'll pick this up tomorrow and ask ourselves the question, what is Jesus most trying to communicate to us? What are we up against, and how the kingdoms are clashing in the midst of Jesus revealing the fullness of the kingdom and bringing people into new life in the kingdom? God bless you. Hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question. But it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.